Okay, so last time I actually preached, like I can talk in front of you and I can just say stuff, but last time I actually preached, I've done it like one time and it was not to age myself, but like over 20 years ago. So give me a little grace today, guys. So we could be here for 5 minutes and I could just speed through everything, or I might, you know, just get in a groove and we might be here for a while. We'll see. That being said, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here today, and I just ask that the words that are spoken this morning are not mine, but they're from you. And I pray that you would impact hearts, that you would speak into minds, and I just bind up in Jesus' name anything that would inhibit your word from reaching people today. That your word would directly impact, and that your will would be done, and that you would change hearts, and that you would change minds, and you would change lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so what I am speaking about, first of all, as Naomi said, Jason and I were youth leaders in the church for a few years, and before everybody joined with First. And so part of this message is going to be held somewhat like we did youth group. So I need interaction, and I need some feedback, and please don't just look at me like blank stares, because that's a little intimidating. So, raise of hands. Who's scared of something in here? Okay. I think we all have had some kind of fear at some point in our life. I'm going to tell you a quick story. I am and have been my entire life petrified of spiders. I don't like them. They're not fun. They're not my friends. They think they're my friends, but they're not my friends. So when we first moved to the house that we're in right now, it's on a lake. Moisture lakes mean bigger arachnids. So Jason was at work. I was in my room. I was folding clothes or something, and there was this huge spider, like bigger than anything I've ever had that wasn't in a cage in front of me, okay? It was like the size of a preteen tarantula, okay? It was really big, and I freaked out. Jason was at work. I already said this. Kids were upstairs, and I jump on top of the bed, and I get my phone, and I call Jason. I said, there's a huge spider. I don't know what to do. And he's like, just kill it. I'm like, no, you don't understand. This thing, like, this is not something that you can just pick up with a little tissue and throw away. Like, you squish this thing, it's gonna leave a mess, okay? I'm not doing that. And he's like, you've got to do something. And I'm up on the bed, like, freaking out, and I'm talking to him, and then I look down, and it's gone. In my bedroom, guys, okay? It's gone. And I'm like, I don't see it. I don't know where it's at. And he's, babe, you're fine. It's probably gone. You don't have to worry about it. Don't worry about it. I'm like, it's in my room. It's going to come crawl on me in my sleep. What do you mean it's fine? He's gone. And he's like, it's fine. He's gone. Don't worry about it. So I probably did not finish the laundry in my room that day. And I probably threw off the colors before I got in bed that night. And later that week, guess what I found? Crawling into the bathroom next to our room. Thank God Jason was home and he was able to dispose of the arachnid. But I am petrified of spiders. So, other fears that people might have. Spiders. Heights, anybody? Anybody feel that? Okay. Roller coasters, plane rides. Some people don't think they have a fear of success, but they get in their own way to get to where they know they need to be. Some have a fear of failure. I personally like tornadoes, okay? Like, we're not going to get into that. That's a whole story in itself. But a lot of people don't like natural disasters. And I don't like natural disasters. I don't like the damage it causes, but I'm fascinated with them, okay? Small spaces. Okay. So I have another little story, and then we'll get into things. So my mom is, she has a huge fear of heights, and she doesn't like bridges too much. And this got passed down to me too. It like started happening after Davina was born. Like all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I'm like scared to go across a bridge. It's something God's working on me with. But anyway, my mom, when we were kids, we would go to Yankton. And they've changed the bridge to go over the Missouri River to Yankton now. But back in the day, it was pretty high. And you could see over the side. And my dad, I love my dad, but sometimes he's not very nice because he would go, hey, let's take a look at the water. Let's go look at the water. And he'd like veer over because he was always driving. And my mom would be in the front seat just gripping. Roger! And so, like, she was so scared, and me and my brother in the back just keeling over laughing. We thought it was the funniest thing, and I did not realize until I was older how horrible it must have been for her. So I feel really bad for her. But anyway, so bridges are another. So anyway, we're talking about fears today, and we're going to play a little game, okay? So if you have a Bible, please grab it. If you don't, I need a volunteer. If I don't have a volunteer, I will volunteer somebody. Jonathan, you raise your hand first. Okay. I need you to pick out a candy for volunteering for yourself. Okay. And I need you to take those Bibles and hand them out to whoever might not have one. If you don't have a Bible and would like to participate, please raise your hand. And we'll take a second. Your partners, you got it. If you want to play, you got to have your own Bible. All right, anybody else? Okay, look, if you want to play, if you want to win, if you want to get a piece of candy, you got to play, okay? All right, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to put a verse up on the screen. I'm going to say what the verse is, and whoever is the first to find the verse needs to jump up and read it, okay? If there is a tie, as long as I have candy, I will give you both a candy, okay? Is everyone ready? Okay, everybody have their hands on their heads. No cheating. Okay, unless you are physically unable. All right, ready? First one. I'm going to say it twice, and then I will say go, okay? 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. Go.
Yes, Krista.
You gotta stand up, dude. Okay. You can't use your phone. You gotta use a Bible. You can't use a phone. Okay, sorry. I forgot to give the rules. I should have stated that ahead of time. I'm sorry. You can't use your phones. You can get to the verse way too. You got to pop up. You got to stand up. Second tip. Okay, Sarah Kornman. All right, Char. Yes. Very good. Spirit of God gave us did not make us timid. Gives us power, love, and self-discipline. All right. I need another helper that's not playing. Jonathan. You don't get another candy. You already got one. Sorry. Go and give, let Char pick out a candy. All right. Hands on your, oh, and if you've already won, you don't get to keep playing. We gotta keep things fair. So you can keep this because for everybody that yeah. Okay. Hands on your heads. Philippians 4:6. Philippians 4:6. Go. Sharon. Yes. Do not be anxious about anything. Every situation, prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. All right, hands on your heads. We got like 12 of these-ish. Okay, ready? Come on. 1 John 4:18. 1 John 4:18. Go. Sierra.
There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears does not mean perfect love.
So with this verse, I'd like to point out, a lot of people say that the opposite of anger is hate. But I think the opposite of anger is fear. Because perfect love drives out fear. Okay, hands on your heads. It doesn't want to work. Okay, Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah 41:10. Go. Go ahead. No? Yes. Hands on our heads. Okay, this guy is like out of batteries or something. Drew, can I have you? Thank you. It's not working for me. Joshua 1:9. Joshua 1:9. Go. Alex. Good job. And pay attention to these because there's going to be a quiz after. Okay? There's a reason these are being written or being up here. Okay. Matthew 6:43. Matthew 6:43. Go. 34. Sorry. Ambidextrous. Yeah. Dyslexic. Sorry. It's the same. Yeah. That's why I have it up there in case it doesn't come out right. Okay, hands on your heads. Okay, this thing doesn't like me. Okay, Psalm 27:1. Psalm 27:1. Go. Good job. Taylor taught gets a candy. Hands on the head.
Oh, yeah, that would be a good idea if I put it on, didn't it?
Thanks. Okay, Deuteronomy 31:8. Go. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Thank you. Okay, ready? Proverbs 29:25. Proverbs 29:25. Go. Rira. No? Okay.
The fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe.
Yes. Good job. Okay. Ready? 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7. Go. We got one. There you go. Good one. All right. Ready? After this, we've got two more, and then everybody's back in the game, the last two, okay? Psalm 46:2. Psalm 46:2. Go. Rira,
wait.
Oh, yeah, the last two. Go ahead.
Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives away and the mountains fall into the heart of enemies.
So if the world falls apart, don't fear. God's in control. Okay. All right. Psalm 56:11. Psalm 56:11. Go. Everybody can play. Char. You want to read that again for those that are a little slow? Thank you. All right. Last one. Ready? Isaiah 43:1-2. Isaiah 43:1-2. Go. Oh, we got one back here. Go ahead. Yes.
When you pass through the water, I will be with you. When you pass through the river, it will
Thank you. I'm going to read this one more time because I think this is such a good visual of how God protects us. Now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, and put your name in place of Jacob. He who created you, Missy. He who created you, Maria. He who created you, Drew. He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. It's such a picture of he's got us covered. He's got us surrounded. Yes, bad things happen to us, but he is in there with us. He is in the midst of us. He is protecting us and guarding us. Okay, so now I need a raise of hands. You're not done, Jonathan. I'm putting you to work. I need a raise of hands. You read these verses. You can go back if you want. I need another volunteer also, please. Anybody? Volunteer? You get another piece of candy, Alex. You get a piece of candy too, Alex. Okay. No, you can do the candy still. And Alex, I would like for you to hand these out to everybody. Thank you. I didn't bring pens. Hopefully there's pens in front of you. If not, I'm sorry. When we read those, obviously the main theme was do not be afraid, do not fear. But what, other than that, what did that speak to you? She gets a piece of candy. Anyone else? Okay. All right. So, this whole topic that we're talking about today is kind of me preaching to the choir. It's something that God has been working on me for a very long time, and I feel like it's kind of been a process because I feel like I'll get over one thing, and then it'll be the next thing, and it's just God bringing me through it. So a lot of you know, I used to live in California for about 5 years. I was married before I met Jason, and it was a very toxic environment, and I left, and when I left, I had a lot of guilt, a lot of shame, and I won't say completely walked away from God at that point in time. I still believed he was there. I still believed what I had been taught, but I came to a point where I didn't necessarily trust him because of the hurt that I had gone through. And if I felt like, God, if you're good, if you're all these things, how come I went through this? I trusted you to be in that relationship, to be in that, and it was hurt upon hurt upon hurt upon hurt. And till I finally just couldn't take anymore and had to leave and build myself back up and figure out who I was again. And I felt shame because I was always taught that you don't leave a marriage. You don't leave that commitment. It's until death do you part, but I left. And I felt fear that I wasn't good enough. Not really snowballed, but I made decisions in that time in my life that I knew weren't in line with what I knew was right. And it dug me deeper into a hole of depression and despair and fear, because I knew God was calling me back to him, but I was scared that if I came back that it would happen again. That if I came back, that he was going to let me down. But in actuality, he never really let me down. Those were choices I chose to make. And looking back in retrospect, I could have seen the red flags, and I chose to ignore them. And so I finally took a leap of faith, and I did. I came back to God. And I'm not saying I'm perfect. It's been a journey. But I'm learning to trust him again more and more every day. When I first got married to Jason, I dealt with a fear of losing him. I felt I was pregnant with Bella very, very shortly after we got married. And he worked long hours. He drove a half hour each way, give or take a few. And I made him, like, he got up very early to go to work, but I made him call me when he got to work so that I knew that he was okay. And there was one point in time after, right shortly after Bella was born, that there was a tornado in front of him on the highway coming home, and God protected him from that. And that kind of opened my eyes to God is my provider. He is my protector. I do not need to be scared of this. And so I was released from that fear. And then I came into a point of losing my children, of them getting sick, of them getting hurt, of getting, and that's, you know, at some point there, you know, I think every parent deals with that. But this was like an irrational fear. Like they would, Bella would get on the bus to go to school, and it would just be this, it wasn't normal. I think it was honestly like a demonic oppression, like just hammering at me that something is going to happen to my children. They're not here in my presence, so I can't control what's going on around them. But I honestly, if something's going to happen, it's going to happen, right? And then I came to a point where I said, okay, God, they're yours. I will do the best that I can with them. I will keep them protected as much as I can within my ability, but I cannot obsess over this fear that something is going to happen to them all the time. And I was able to walk past that and be delivered from that. And then I came to this point where I was in fear of my life, that I was going to get in an accident, that I was going to get sick and die before my kids grew up. And that honestly took the longest to process and get over. And God just told me, he said, Missy, whatever is going to happen in your life is going to happen whether you want it to or not, whether I'm in your life or not. It's just life. Things happen. We live in a fallen world, and things happen to the good, things happen to the bad. It's just the way it is. The difference is, are you going to follow me and trust me that I've got your back and I'm going to work things for good, or are you going to hold on to it and try and keep things that are not in your power to try and keep them in your power anyway? And I had to release that and say, no, God, I'm yours. I had to give him control, because honestly, even though I thought I was in control, I'm not. None of us are. Things are going to happen that are out of our control. And the difference is, am I going to let God handle it, or am I going to just hold it in my hands and worry and fret and fear and have anxiety over it? So, how do we get over? How do we move into a place where fear doesn't rule? Because we all have fears. We all have things that we struggle with. I know I'm not alone, but we all have things. So how do we get to a point where that's not a constant attack? We're going to talk about the armor of God. If you have Bibles, please turn to Ephesians 6, 11 through 18. I'll let you give you a second to get there. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord, in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So I've got a picture here of traditional Roman armor, because that is when this was written originally. So sometimes this doesn't make sense because we don't normally wear armor today. So I want to give you a visual of what the armor looked like. And we're going to break this down, because I know a lot of times we read through this and we're like, oh yeah, that's good. But what do each of these things actually do in our lives? Okay? And this is where you can give feedback here again. Okay? Belt of truth. What is the belt of truth? What does it do? Mm-hmm. Right. Helps you divide right from wrong. You see the truth from the lies. Breastplate of righteousness. Yep. Helps you to be a person that does right. It protects your heart. Because a lot of things in the world seem really fun, and in the end, you end up hurting for it. Shoes of readiness given by the gospel of peace. Being ready for anything, and having peace in your heart that's been put there by the word of God. That's why it's so important to spend time in the Word, to spend time in devotions with God, in alone with Him, in your prayer closet, in your room, wherever it is that you go. That's why it's so important. Shield of faith. We're going to spend a little bit of time on this one, but I'll finish this out first. Faith that God is for you and not against you. Sometimes that's hard, seeing everything in the world today, seeing that all the evil and all the things that are wrong, to see that God, to have the faith that God is for you. You're sick. It's all right. God is for you, not against you. Someone gets hurt. It's okay. God is for you, not against you. He can work all things for His glory. He has your back. He shields your heart and your mind from any lies that the enemy might try and come at you with. And the helmet of salvation acts as a helmet. Protects your mind. If you were a soldier and could pick one protective gear, the soldier would get the helmet. Because you can go without a limb. You can go without a foot or a toe, even a leg. But if you lose your head, it's game over, right? It's important. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is your weapon. Out of the whole armor, that sword is your weapon. That's how you can move forward instead of just always standing guard. That's how you can continue on and defeat the enemy. That's how you can be on the offensive. So with the shield of faith, I want you to notice something here. Okay, this guy's probably 6 foot tall or so. If I was standing next to that shield, it'd probably be up to here. I'm short. Like, that shield protects his whole body, right? You can duck behind there. And faith helps us combat fear, knowing that God is in control, knowing that he has our best interest at heart. Even when bad things happen, knowing that he is right there by our side walking through it with us. Okay. So I want to do one more visual of the armor, and then we'll move on. If you notice, there's nothing on the back. The shield protects the front. The armor protects your front. There's nothing on the back. When Paul, I think it was Paul that wrote this, he didn't say anything about protect your back, because God's got our back. He's our protector. And we stand side by side as an army of God. He's the one, like, we protect each other, but we move forward as an army, and God's got our back. So, the enemy attacks us with arrows of distraction. Like, when they fought back in first century, they didn't have guns. They might have had knives, but that's very close. You know, you got to be right there. They had swords. And they had, like, spears and arrows. And so if army is football field down that way and you're over here, they had these arrows that would fly over. And those arrows weren't necessarily meant to kill, because the Roman army had those big shields, right? But a lot of times they would set those arrows on fire. And if the fire could get in between where those shields were protecting, it could become a distraction. So those soldiers were no longer looking at them, at the enemy, to go fight them, to move forward. They were distracted by the arrows of fire and trying to put out the flames. And that's what the devil does to us. Being Christians, having God on our side and having given our lives over to him, the devil is no longer trying to kill us, because he can't. Even if he kills our bodies, we're going into, eternity with God. So it doesn't do a whole lot of good regardless. But he is trying to distract us. He is trying to put little arrows and flames in our camp of fear, of things to distract us from where God really wants us to be going. He's trying to put little circumstances for us to focus on. And we need to be able to recognize those for what they are. So the whole armor as a whole protects us against the fear. I already talked about backs. I got ahead of myself. Okay. God's got our back. We're under his protection. So what do? Obviously, being in prayer and being in communion with God is so important. But what do when that fear is coming at us, when those circumstances, when those little flaming arrows are in our life? What do? How do we combat that? How do we get our eyes focused back on where God wants us to go so that we can move forward instead of staying where we're at? And the best way to fight is on our knees, in prayer, in praise. There's a story in the Bible with Gideon. It's only a few chapters. But Gideon struggled with fear. And reading it now, you think, man, this guy was a scaredy cat. Like, God was talking to him. He was performing miracles to prove that he was who he was, and he was calling Gideon to do what he was supposed to do. And Gideon kept asking for more signs, more things. And God didn't get mad at him. He rose up and he said, okay, I'm going to do what you asked me to do, but then you need to go do what I'm asking you to do. And at one point, Gideon builds an altar and he praises. Before he goes into war, he praises God and he thanks him and he gives him the worship that he is worthy of and goes on to a victory. So I'm at the end of my sermon here. When you have things in your life that seem to be blinding you, that seem to be consuming you, and that's all you can think about, and that's all that seems to matter in that moment, I would encourage you to get on your knees and worship and praise. Get in the Word. Put on that armor, because that is what is going to protect you from those fiery darts. That is what's going to protect you from that fear that seems to want to come in and control everything that you're doing, all your thoughts, all your actions, and keep you from moving forward. So, you all have a piece of paper. We're going to put on some soft music. And I want you to spend some time in prayer, just a few minutes, and answer, what are you scared of? What is in your life right now that you need to give to God, that you need to let his peace come in, to let the fruit of his spirit come in and fill that void that you've been chewing on, that you've been going over and over and over in your head? What is in your life that you need to let his peace take your place? I'm just going to take a few minutes. You can write it down. You can pray. You can walk around. Whatever you want. And I'll come back in a few minutes and we'll pray and close.